We're doing the Navi Yechezkel. We're up to the first chapter, the 11th Pasuk. The Navi is having this extraordinary vision. He's seeing angels. He's describing to us the angel called Chaya, or Chayot, four Chayot, and they have 36 faces, or four faces, or 16 faces, I'm sorry. The Navi is continuing in his description in Pasuk Yudalef, the 11th verse. Ufnehem, and their faces. Vechanfehem perudot milmalam. And their wings are separate from above. Ufnehem has a tune that denotes its own word. Ufnehem, pause. Their faces and their wings were separate from above. Ufnehem means they have faces and their wings are separate from above their faces and cover their faces. How so? Le'ish shetayim choverot ish. Each person has two wings covering them, meaning each face, remember they have 16 faces, so each face has two wings covering it. So if each angel is one next to the other, each one extends its wings to cover the face of the next one. If you could imagine that, right? Each one's extending one of its wings to cover someone on its right and one of its wings to cover someone on its left. And the angel next to it is covering one on the right and one on the left. So you'll ask me, what about the ones on the edges? And I'll tell you, well, if they have 16 faces going around, so maybe those faces just go around and cover one another. Ushtayim mechasot, and they also had two wings, the remaining two wings, et giviyotehena, that would cover their bodies. Ve'ish el eiver panav yelechu, and each one could travel in the direction of their face. El asher yiyesham haruach lalechet yelechu lo yisabu belechtan. Wherever the ruach, now ruach could mean wind, ruach could mean spirit, ruach could mean desire. Wherever they desire to go, they could go. They don't have to turn. When we move in a different direction, we turn our heads. But if they have heads facing in every direction, so then they could move in every direction without turning their heads. Udmut achayot. These angels, they looked like marehim kegach aleish. Their color was like burning fire, like coals of fire. Bo'arot kimarei halapidim. They were burning like torches. Hi mitalechet ben achayot. This fire would go throughout the angel. You would see as though fire running through its whole shape. V'noga la'esh. And the fire made more light than our fires make. So these angels would shine greater than our fires. And from the fire, you'd have barak, you'd have a shine or lightning shooting out from the great light of these angels. These angels would move back and forth like a flame that's constantly shifting within a furnace. Kemare habazak. And the color of their fire was like the fire that comes out when you purify gold inside a cauldron. So when the fire comes out of the cauldron, so then the flame has multiple colors. So too these angels, on the one hand, they have this great shine. On the other hand, they have multiple colors to their flame. Va'ere ha'chayot. So I saw these angels, chayot. V'nei ofan. Just one second. So we're continuing again. We're on Pasuk Tetvav. Va'ere ha'chayot. Now remember, he's seeing this vision with his soul. Whenever we speak about visions of prophecy, we're talking about something that's seen by the soul, not a physical vision. Va'ere ha'chayot. And I saw these angels called chayot. V'nei ofan echad ba'aretz etzel ha'chayot le'arbat panav. The term aretz has many meanings, right? Aretz could mean land of Israel. Aretz can mean earth. Aretz could also mean the underside, the flooring. Not necessarily the floor or the earth, but rather the flooring of ba'aretz. So over here, our sages tell us that ba'aretz does not mean earth. That when we say the angels have an ofan ba'aretz, so we'll have to define the word ofan. One definition of ofan would be a wheel. Okay, that's one definition of the word ofan. So these angels have an ofan, which for now we'll leave it as potentially a wheel. But when it says ba'aretz, it means the flooring of heaven. It's as though heaven has a surface. They're up above the surface. Now, this idea also has halachic implications. Because in halacha, we discuss that one may not make a form. It says, lo ta'asun iti. Do not make a form together with me, Hashem says. And the Talmud, in Tractate Rosh Hashanah, and this is ruled in the Codex and Shulchan Aruch and Yoreh Deah, says that there are two prohibitions to creating a form. One prohibition of creating a form is creating a form of that which is described as being up in heaven with Hashem. So if the Navi Yechezkel is now going to describe to us an ox, for example, that this angel has the face of an ox and the face of a human, right? We saw this, right? The four faces of the angel. So then we are prohibited from making those faces. Part of the prohibition of making a figurine of an idol is also making a figurine of those upper beings that are in that other realm, what Hashem calls iti. We say up above. So there is a boundary, even from a halachic perspective. It's one thing to make a drawing of the sun, the moon, etc. It's quite another thing to make a drawing, and there we're more careful, where we would not make a drawing of any of these angels. You're not allowed to.
Could you watch a video on YouTube that had like an imagery of these angels? But you press the button and it's displaying Malachim. It's your fault you pressed it.
The question was asked, would you be permitted to watch a video of these angels? So, I'll tell you a story, and through that story, we'll see the answer, okay? In Yeshiva University, so they once had a donor who wanted to bring his son on Shabbos to have his bar mitzvah. The only thing was that the donor wasn't so observant, and so they brought the son for the bar mitzvah, and they brought a film crew to the yeshiva on Shabbos.
Wow.
So the child is honored with taking out the Sefer Torah, and suddenly there's flashing going on in the Beis Medrash on Shabbos. And they asked Rav Soloveitchik if he would pose with the child so that they could grab a picture of him in his bar mitzvah with the rabbi. So Rav Soloveitchik refused. And then Rav Soloveitchik gave a very important and famous ruling. He said that nowadays, taking a picture is the equivalent of writing. And so if you're walking down the street and there is a camera taking your picture, you're not participating with the camera's action. You are not being an active, knowledgeable participant in that action, so that's okay. But if you live in Manhattan, I pity you, but if you do, and then you walk by a store, and many of those stores have all the time videos that are shooting outside the store, and then they have inside the store, they have these screens that play what the video is shooting. So you're going to stand there like a lot of kids do, and you're going to wave, and you're going to make faces at the camera, and you're going to watch it all happen on the screen in front of you. So technically, even though ordinarily we say that in order for writing, at least in order for writing to be biblical, that writing must have an element of permanence, and here none of it's being recorded long term, nonetheless, Rav Soloveitchik said, when you're partaking of that writing, when you're allowing, you're making moves for the camera to capture your moves, so then you are partaking of writing, even writing that doesn't have permanence. So what Rav Soloveitchik said is that nowadays, being that an accepted way of creating a picture is by partaking of a video shoot of yourself, you let people take your picture, you let people take your video, so that would be considered being an accomplice to the writing or the drawing on Shabbat. And that's why Rav Soloveitchik forbade any participation with the photographers on that Shabbat. Obviously, they weren't too happy they were in the Beis Medrash, and they... By the time they realized what was going on, they were already in taking pictures. So we use the leniency on the one hand. We walk down the streets, and here in this neighborhood, almost every street you walk on is being videotaped. In this neighborhood, they have video cameras on almost every street. In Givat Shaul, every street, and in Kiryat Moshe, many of the streets. How can you walk the streets? It's all being videotaped by the government. So you're not being an active participant. But the issue would be if you want to set up a security camera in your own home. You like the feeling of being in your bedroom and looking at the screen and seeing whoever's walking around your house. So all those people walking outside, it's irrelevant. But you who are setting it up, and you who will walk with that security camera, and you and your family who will be active participants in that, and you're aware of that, you run into a problem. There has to be a real need in order to permit that. Ordinarily, you don't need a real need to walk down the street, even though there are cameras taking your picture, because you're not being an active participant. But when you're going to set up these cameras, so then you are becoming an active participant in that picture taking. So from that ruling of Rav Soloveitchik, we walk away with a lot of halachic definitions as far as video cameras and taking pictures on Shabbat, etc. So using that ruling, it's very possible that we would have an issue with someone hitting the play button on a video of all these figurines of angels. That's a good point.
So, what if you took a photo of someone
Wait, 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 we're not in Q&A now. We can deal with the questions. I went off on a tangent. After we finish Yechezkel, we can have a few minutes of questions, hopefully some answers too. So coming back to the Navi in Yechezkel. So there is an ofan, which we can translate for now as a wheel. Remember, we discussed it in Jacob's dream. Jacob sees a ladder. Yaakov Avinu sees angels going up and down the ladders. So, well, do angels need ladders to get up to heaven? So we discussed that the ladder represents something. By the same token, every word in this prophecy represents something. Angels don't need wings and angels don't need wheels. Right? You know, so if the Navi is describing the angel as having an ofan, which right now we're loosely translating as a wheel, we'll get back to the ofanim. Yechezkel himself will speak about the ofanim. But for now, we'll say ofanim are wheels. Don't forget that in Hebrew, the term wheel can also be cycle, which can also be orbit. It doesn't have to be a wheel. Meaning, we're envisioning like an angel on wheels, right? With a little unicycle. No, the word ofan, that's why I was hesitant to use the term wheel, because the term ofan can also be an orbit or a cycle. So we'll get back to that. But for now, we'll stay with the loose translation of wheel. So we said, the angels called chayot have an ofan on the flooring of the heaven, etzel hachayot le'arbat panav. You remember we described each of these angels has four faces, and Rashi had elaborated that each of those faces has four. We ended up with 16. And our sages say, so the Navi over here is describing that each one of the faces has an ofan, which for now we're going to leave hanging, what that ofan is. פסוק תציין. מראה האופנים ומעשיהם כאין תרשיש. What is תרשיש? Does anyone remember where we encounter it in Torah? Okay, so תרשיש is the name of a city. What else is תרשיש? Who went to תרשיש? Does anyone remember? Yonah. Very good. Yonah went on a ship that was Ba'at Tarshisha, that was going to Tarshish. Jonah, right? Where else do we find the word Tarshish? I'll give you the pasuk. Tarshish v'shoam v'yoshfei. Odem pitida uvareket. Okay, these are names of the stones on the breastplate. Now, the Targum translates Tarshish as Burl Yama, a stone called Burl, I don't know what that is, that's found out in the sea. So it seems that Tarshish is associated with the sea. There's some great stone that's called Tarshish. Rashi over here quotes the French for Tarshish, and he writes the following word in French. Maybe you guys can help me out and tell me what it means in French. He writes cristal.
Crystal.
Huh, maybe? I don't know. Is that a stone? He's saying the word Tarshish is crystal. So I can understand if it's crystal, if it's white crystal, then I can understand why it's like the sea. Maybe.
Crystal means, unless he's saying Tarshish is a city.
I don't speak French.
I do.
Ah, so then crystal is crystal?
He's saying Tarshish is a city.
He says it's a good stone, whose name is Tarshish. And then parenthetically, crystal is crystal. Okay. So why is it called Kristallnacht? Do you know?
Well, that's German. Light of glass.
And then crystal is glass.
Crystal,
okay.
They broke all the glass. Yeah. Well, all those things.
I understand. But then in German, crystal is glass. It's not.
I don't know German.
I don't
you
know.
Have to ask. Kristallnacht is a light of breaking glass. And crystal, K-R-I-S-T-A-L-L, is glass in German. Crystal in French is crystal.
It's crystal. Okay.
Why does he write in French? It's so interesting.
Because he was from Kosrashi. Perhaps he wants to prove another time, like the way before you said they were quoting Rashi in the Tanakh when he was even there, that predated Ashkenazi at the old business.
Udmut echad le'arbatan. All four have one form, and again the term form is seemingly inaccurate when you're talking about angels, but okay, we'll leave that for now. Umarihem uma asayem kasher Yiyeha ofan bitoha ofan. So they behaved like an ofan within an ofan. Okay, what's an ofan within an ofan? A wheel within a wheel. Guys, you can imagine that. If you have a wheel that's going this way, and you have a wheel that's going this way, just think of Jupiter, right? With the rings around it, you have a circle this way. And a circle that way, two circles that are fused, so then it can roll in every direction, right? It's almost a ball. Because you have a circle that's running vertical, and a circle that's running horizontal. You have two different circles, so then it can roll in every direction. So that's what the ofanim are. Now, how they're attached to the chayot, we'll see in a second. Al arba'at riv'ehin b'lecht. Belechtam yelechu. The ofanim could move. We said that the chayot could go in every direction, right? And they don't have to turn their heads. Well, how did they travel in all four directions? Because they had these ofanim, which could travel in all four directions, because they had. Their wheels could turn in all four directions. So you have, imagine a wheel that's going this way, and a wheel that's going this way, right? If the two wheels are in a 90 degree angle and they're attached to one another, so then you could roll in any one of the four directions. Lo yisabu belechtan, and they don't have to turn in order to go another direction, because they could just roll in that direction or the other direction. Vegabein, and they had backs, which is a chidush, because in order to have a back, you have to be confined to a space. Yeah. And when we speak about angels, so we don't imagine them confined to a space. Okay, so they are confined to a space. So an angel, we're given this whole description as though he has a form, as though he has a space. Okay. Vegabehen, they have backs. Vegovalahim, v'yirahalahim, they were awesome, they were fearful. Vegabotam, and their backs, mileyote na'ayim, are covered with eyes. Saviv le'albatam, so if you have four faces in four directions, so you have four backs in four directions. So under the backs, you have eyes. And if you have all these eyes, then you could see in every direction that you're going. Why does an angel have to see? I don't know why an angel has to see. But okay, so obviously this is all Kabbalistic. It's not literal, but we're going with the literal translation right now. You understand they have a face. You have a face of an ox, so that would seem to indicate that the ox has eyes. But they don't look through those eyes. There's a face of a human. The face of a human usually has eyes. But they're not looking through those eyes. But their body has a back. Does it have a front? We didn't see that it has a front at this point. So you have faces going all around, and then you have a body which has eyes throughout the body, as though the body, you don't need anything else to do with the body. And then you have wings, but the wings cover the face, and the wings cover the body, but they don't cover the back. So part of it has to be a back, and part of it has to be a body. And then on the bottom, they have feet that are like the feet of a calf, remember? Straight feet. And under that, they have an ofan, they have this wheel that they move on. Is the wheel connected to them? So then how does the wheel turn without knocking them down, right? So, obviously, we're using physical terms to describe something. Because in a physical world, you cannot have a wheel like that. A wheel that spins in four directions. What's it attached to? Where are the spokes? Yeah, where's that? What's that called? The middle thing that holds the wheel? The hub? Cap. Not the cap,
the
spokes. The middle that the wheel attaches to a bike. Let's say, what's that? The axis, right? The axle. So where's the axle to this wheel? Okay, so coming back, okay, but if it's all angels, so whatever, I don't know. Persecutes. So when the angel called Chaya shifts, so then the Ofan also shifts. So you see, originally we thought these Ofanim are wheels, and then we imagined that the wheels are supporting the Chayot, and then we imagined that they travel with the Chayot. But now it sounds like they have their creation of their own, which is the way we see later on in the Prophet, they seem to be a separate angel. There's the angel called Ofan, and there's the angel called Chaya. So when the angel called Chaya goes up, the Ofanim goes up. So we're going to pause here. We've advanced in our understanding to some degree that now we understand there's a Chaya and there's an Ofan. Say there? And the Ofan, we had a broad description of the Ofan. The next description is going to be the connection between the Chayot and the Ofanim. But now we also understand in our prayer every morning, when we speak about Ofanim, we're talking about a type of angel that's described in Yechezkel as being a four-sided wheel. Could spin in every direction. Ha'ofanim v'chayot ha'kodesh. Right? And what we're about to see, what we saw is that when the Chayot go up, so then the Ofanim go up. So now let's think of what we say in prayer. Va'ofanim v'chayot ha'kodesh berash gadol mitnas'im. They uplift. So we just said that these angels work in unison, the Ofanim and the Chayot HaKodesh. So now we also don't know what it means, but on a simple level it means when they lift off together. These angels seem to work in unison, the Ofanim and the Chayot HaKodesh.